All righty. We're glad to have Brother Nate with us this morning, among those who are still living in the congregation. And Brother Nate's going to bring the message this morning. And then in the hour, worship hour, he'll be sharing with us concerning beliefs as well. So we're delighted to have Brother Nate that we've been seeing for the past 5 or 6 years, I guess. Is it 6 years down there? Seven now. Okay. All righty. Let's begin in prayer. Father, we thank you for the morning that you've given to us to gather around your word. We pray, Father, that you would strengthen us in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be with Brother Nate as he brings the word of God to us. Pray that you would direct him and strengthen him, clothe him with thy spirit, and give us ears to hear, Lord, and a submissive heart to ever follow your will. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, Brother Nate, come.
Good morning. It's so great to be here with the saints. How much time do I have, brother? 45. Okay, so let me just set this timer because I've been known to talk forever. I'd done a radio interview with an organization after I got back from England 1 year, and the guy said, we have a half-hour show, and so it was like 2 minutes later, the music's playing, and I thought, well, they're cutting to commercial. No, I spoke 22 minutes. I didn't realize I spoke that long. Time goes by quick, so. Well, this morning I want to bring a message that really echoes from the past, from our Lord Jesus Christ, a warning that he's given and for us to examine, for us to be aware of, as he has done many times in Scripture, with different scenarios that we would deal with as believers. And so I'd ask you to go to Jeremiah 23, where we'll start, and then we're going to be roaming about throughout Scriptures. And so we'll start in Jeremiah 23, starting in verse 1. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the shepherds who are tending my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not attended to them. Behold, I am about to attend to you for the evil of your deeds, declares the Lord. Verse 9. As for the prophets, my heart is broken within me. All my bones tremble. I've become like a drunken man, even like a man overcome with wine, because of the Lord, and because of his holy words. For the land is full of adulterers, for the land mourns because of the curse. The pastures of the wilderness have dried up. Their course is also is evil, and their might is not right. For both prophet and priest are polluted. Even in my house I have found their wickedness, declares the Lord. Therefore their way will be like slippery paths to them, for they will be driven away into the gloom and fall down into it. For I will bring calamity upon them, the year of their punishment, declares the Lord. Moreover, among the prophets of Samaria I saw an offensive thing. They prophesied by Baal and led my people Israel astray. Also among the prophets of Jerusalem I have seen a horrible thing, the committing of adultery and walking in falsehood. And they strengthen the hands of evildoers, so that no one has turned back from his wickedness. All of them have become to me like Sodom, and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I am going to feed them wormwood and make them drink poisonous water. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, pollution has gone forth into all the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you into futility. They speak a vision of their own imagination, not from the mouth of the Lord. We see this all across our land. Belize is not a set apart country in regards to this. We see those that are bringing false gospels. They're daring, self-willed. They do not tremble at the things of God. They're unreasoning animals, reviling their stains and blemishes. And they have eyes full of adultery. And that's what we see across the land of Belize and across this land. But what I've seen is another thing. I've seen many of God's people lacking discernment because they don't know the Word of God. Few read the word, even fewer know the word, and even fewer than that live the word. We're called here by our Lord Jesus Christ, an admonition to examine. To examine the truth, to see what the spirit of truth and the spirit of error are, that we would not be deceived. That we would not go down this path of apostasy as many have gone down. You see, these false teachers come and they destroy and scatter the sheep. They're amusing the goats and starving the sheep. They're driving them away. They are polluted, as verse 11 said. There's vileness in the house of the Lord. They have the sacrifice of Cain, and those that follow them bring that same sacrifice. How many of you think are meeting today or have met yesterday or will meet throughout the week, and they come and they dress really well. They bring what they believe to be a sacrifice that the Lord will accept. They're fully convinced in their mind as Cain was, and yet that's a sacrifice that the Lord will not accept. They're fully convinced in their mind. These men, they put the word behind their backs. They have no concern for truth. As a matter of fact, they malign the truth. They bring false words. And we're told that their destruction is not asleep. In 2 Peter, starting in verse 1. He says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality. That's important. Many. There's not just a few that say, you know what? This guy, you know, and the rest are saying, we see this. There will be many that will follow their sensuality. And because of them, the way of truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. These men are out there. Unfortunately, they're in pulpits, within gathering places, all throughout this country, all throughout Belize and around the world. And there will be people that will get up, put on their best, clean themselves up, and come in, many without the Bible in their hands. They will listen, and they will take what is said as truth, and they'll leave through those two doors, believing that, and then deceiving many people with the lies that they're taught. Jude, I'm reminded, you know, he was writing a letter, and he says, beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. So here he's going to write this letter about their common salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ, rejoicing in the work that he's done, and God stops the pen, stops his hand, and redirects that letter. And it's a stark warning for us today of what we see in pulpits around the world. He says that these persons have crept in unnoticed. We're told in Galatians, they snuck in unaware. So you're sitting here and someone comes in the back door, you don't even notice, and they sit right next to you. It's not an obvious thing. They're not coming in the front door and everyone says, hey, that guy came in late. They're sneaking in unaware and sitting down. They creep in unnoticed and they come in and they bring a reproach to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They bring lies and deception. And see, there are those that would be in this congregation as well as other congregations around the world that have not known the Word of God. They don't read the Word of God and they don't live the Word of God. And so when someone slips in and starts whispering some things, I say, well, that sounds good. I agree with that. Because there's no discernment there, because many in our churches have not even been born again. Many have not even been regenerated. Many have not the Spirit of God and cannot discern the difference between truth and error. And he says that these men that come in, they're long beforehand marked out for this condemnation are ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. That sums it up. They deny the Lord Jesus Christ. They deny who He is. They deny the work that He's done. So I want to ask you today, do you deny the Lord Jesus Christ? Nobody would jump up and say, yeah, I deny the Lord Jesus Christ. But the question is, what does your life look like? Because their lives are evident. Because as Jude goes on, he brings out some very condemning statements about these individuals. And one of the things that I was studying this some time ago was Eyes Full of Adultery. And I thought, this is just fascinating. These men will look upon the flock, to everyone in the pew, looking for what they can get from that person. So we know what an adulterer is. You know, they're looking to commit sexual immoral act with another person. Well, these men with eyes full of adultery are looking at every person. Well, this man has a lot of money. I can manipulate him. This woman's beautiful. Maybe I can sleep with her. And the list goes on. And they see everyone in the congregation has nothing more than someone to prey upon. We don't need to go any further than the Blasphemy Channel, the Blasphemy Network, I call it, and see Kenneth Copeland and many others that do this exact thing. Eyes full of adultery. Everyone they see, they try and victimize these individuals. And he goes on and on and on. They're indulged in gross immorality. They defile the flesh. They reject authority. They revile angelic majesties. And just continues to go on. And then he says, they're trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. But our Lord warns us that in the last times we will see these mockers. We will see these individuals that will go after their own ungodly lusts. They cause divisions. They're worldly minded. They're devoid of the Spirit. Their eyes are not on the Lord. Their eyes are on what can bring them advantage, either monetarily or otherwise. And he warns us. He warns us about these men. Today we're living in a day where there's a famine in the land, a famine of the Word of God being brought to God's people. I praise the Lord for Pastor Mark and the elders here, continuing to bring the Word of God and teach and preach the truth. Standing on the truth. Do you realize that this is a rarity? This is a rarity in the land. I couldn't believe how many churches we passed just going down all these side roads. And I couldn't even imagine in my mind, like, what do they teach? Do they teach anything? Some mega complex churches, and maybe they are preaching the word. I don't know. I'm not going to pass judgment. But based on what I know and what I've seen in the many years of walking with the Lord, many of them are nothing more than a gathering place. I would not even call them a church. Many of them broadcast their heresy over the radio, seeking to devour, seeking to deceive. And so we're warned, we're told in advance. He says in 1 John, he tells us that these men, starting in verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. That's extremely important. How are you going to test something? How are you going to test to see if what is being preached or taught is truth or it's error? Are you going to base that upon your opinion? Are you going to base that upon some kind of argument or debate that you have or a presupposition that's in your mind? That's what a lot of people come to the Word with, a presupposition, and they try and prove their point. And thus far, they're not being taught by the Holy Spirit of God. They're just coming to the Word of God and trying to defend their position by finding a simple verse that says something that justifies them in their belief. I remember a man who told me, he said, well, pot is given by God, and so we can smoke joints all day long, and it's not a problem. I said, well, where do you get that position from? Scripture. And he said, well, you know, he came up with some verse, obscure verse in the Old Testament about all herb is given by God. So, well, first of all, it doesn't say marijuana, it doesn't say pot, it doesn't say you can smoke, it doesn't say it's drunk. I mean, like, there's so many problems with that. is that what you do? Do you come to the Word of God with a presupposition, or do you come to the Word of God with the faith of a child being willing to be corrected by the Word of God, by the Lord, by His Spirit, if what you have believed is not true? I was sharing with someone the other day about when I started studying different things for myself in Scripture, and then I found my position changing on some of these things. And I was thinking, why did my position change on that? Because I always believed X, Y, Z. And when I look backward in history, the time of my life, I found out that when I initially learned whatever that was, it was because someone had said this is what it was. Someone had taught it, and they weren't necessarily teaching me what the Word of God said. So I heard it from a pulpit, or I heard it from a teaching, and said, that sounds good, and embraced it. But it wasn't until I actually studied the Word of God myself that I come to a conviction of exactly what God's Word says. Pastor Mark digs deep in the well of Christ's riches. He goes down and he digs and he toils to find those gold nuggets to bring them out. But he does the work to feed the flock. You must go down in and dig deep as well to find those gold nuggets. If you just come here to be fed, which you should, and then you leave out that door and you don't do a deeper study and whatever is taught from this pulpit, not only to hold him and the elders accountable to make sure that that's what's being said in the Word of God, but to have a deeper understanding of it for yourself, then all you're doing is you're just going across the surface and you're grabbing the gold nuggets that they've already gone down in the mine and pulled up, and they have them all out there. See, we must study. We must come to these convictions by the Holy Spirit of God. This must be something that is done in our own travail and study in the Word ourselves. Today I see not only a famine of the Word of God going forth, but I see a famine of those who can defend the Word of God, to defend the truth of God's holy Word. Do you believe that this is infallible, inspired, and it's God's holy Word, it has the power to salvation, it won't return void? Do you believe that? If someone asked you a question, would you be able to answer with Scripture? Not an opinion, not someone's argument, or let me send you this video and this pastor will nail it for you. See, as we study each individual section of Scripture, each individual subject, we come to a conviction by the Holy Spirit of God, and we're convinced of what the text says, and then we can defend that. There's a war on the Word of God today. There are many that have this in the pulpit today. Even the most heretical churches on the planet, believe it or not, will have the Word of God before them. But they're not properly expositing the Word. They're not teaching the Word. They're, as Malachi says, they are teaching with partiality to the condemnation of the hearers. So there are many that will be under their teaching. And he says, but as for you, you have turned aside from the way, you have caused many to stumble by the instruction, you have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. So I also have made you despised and abased before all the people, just as you are not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in the instruction. So we'll pick and choose. We'll just pick and choose. It's like a buffet. Maybe you have a buffet and there's food. You go, I don't like that. I'm not going to put that on my plate because I don't like that. But this is what I love, and I'm going to fill myself up on this. And that's what they do. And so we see the golden calves of the heretics all around us. We see those that the golden calf of Sabbatarianism. We see the golden calf of there's just multiple things we can go into that they base their whole system upon that. But yet he says this of the one who brings true instruction, back up to verse 6, true instruction was in his mouth. I'm sorry, verse 5, my covenant with him was one of life and peace. I gave them to him as an object of reverence, so he revered me and stood in awe of my name. Do you revere the Lord? Do you stand before the Lord in awe of his name? Do you fear the Lord? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. This is a man who fears the Lord. This is a man who, he says, my covenant with him was one of life and peace with the Prince of Peace. He goes on in 6 and he says, true instruction was in his mouth and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness. He turned many back from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge and men should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is the message of the Lord of hosts. He is a message of the Lord of hosts, bringing a message of reconciliation and peace with the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we see today? We see carnivals, literally carnivals. Churches are just, it's just a game. I hate to even call them churches because they're not. And so many of these churches, they put the word of God behind their back. Many of them have religious duties and rites that they put above the word of God. We were in a church one time and they had a table out here with, and it was all set in a certain way, and the pastor had come in and was kind of getting away from the traditions that men had held so dearly to. Unfortunately, 14 years later, the pastor was booted out of the pulpit, and I told my wife, I said, watch what they're going to do. Well, guess where the organ was put right back where it was when he started? The table was put right back, and they set these things above the Word of God, the traditions above the Word of God. They had no desire to reach the lost. It was us four and no more. And they held to the traditions of men higher than the Word of God. So what about you, my friend? Do you read the Word of God? Do you live the Word of God? And do you know the Word of God? See, the Pharisees read the Word of God. The Pharisees knew the Word of God very well. Jesus actually had many condemning statements to say about the Pharisees. He said, you're the blind leading the blind. You're whitewashed sepulchers. You're always learning, but you're lacking the power thereof. They knew the Word of God better than anyone else, and they lorded it over the people. So they read the Word. So is it good enough just to read the Word? No. No, there are many people. When I was in England preaching at Speaker's Corner, the one thing I found was that the Muslims knew the Old Testament way better than I did. I mean, they just run circles around me. And it really rebuked me. And I, you know, the Lord admonished me in that I need to know more of the Word. But they knew it very well, but they didn't know Christ. They weren't born again. They're following a false system, false leaders. So it's not enough to read the Word. We must also know the Word. We must also be able to defend the Word. And to know the Word is to have an understanding of what the text is saying. It's not just enough to read it and say, well, you know, I have no clue what he's saying there. Then you dig deep. You go down. Like Job, he says they go down and they swing on ropes and they're down and they're getting all these precious stones and they're mining the truth. So Jesus says, seek as me the hidden treasure. You know, I often tell people, I say, listen, because they say, well, you know, the Word of God, you know, it's hard for me to read the Word. I say, well, you know, if I came onto your property today and told you I was a geologist and we have determined there is one of the largest gold mines in the country on this property, I guarantee you that what you'd be doing is you'd be getting every piece of excavation. You would go get a loan to get people to pick and dig so you could get that gold. And you wouldn't stop. You'd put lights up. You'd be 24/7 and you'd be mining to get this gold out. And yet all the treasures in the world can't compare to Christ. Are you mining the Word of God? Do you know the Word of God? And then do you live the Word of God? It's not just enough to look at yourself in the mirror and then walk away and say, I don't even remember what I look like. We must live the Word. But here's the thing. You cannot and you will not accomplish this unless you've been born again. Unless you've been born again. You see, we're depraved by nature. We're born in sin. We have a heart that's inclined towards evil continuously, day and night. We rebel against God. You may say, well, I've gone to church since I was a kid. How do I rebel against God? You rebel against God in your heart. you disobey your parents, lie, cheat, steal. We've all done these things. Every one of us is guilty. I don't stand here with a finger of condemnation upon you. I don't stand here pointing out and saying, you know what, I'm better than you. No, I'm not. I'm not better than anyone here. I may be better off than some of you if you've not been born again, but I'm not better than you. We've been born in sin, absolute rebellion against our Lord and Savior, and yet He would step off of His throne and come to this dark and evil and wicked world where everybody has rebelled against Him. No one is seeking after God, not even one. No one is good, not even one. Constantly, we're just drinking iniquity like it's going out of style, and yet He would come to save a people for Himself. To set them apart. To regenerate them. To sanctify them. To justify them. To do this work that only God can do. Has that happened in your life? I remember I had read the Word for quite some time before I was born again. And this is the process the Lord was drawing me. And I was reading the Word of God in massive chunks. I worked at a car dealership, and it was the most boring job I ever had in my life. I brought a Bible, and I would just read chunks of Scripture. And people would come in and hide the Bible. And I'd take it back out and read it. But I wasn't born again at that time, but we were actually going to a church. And I remember just starting to get convicted of sin, and I would go to the leaders, and they'd say, oh, you're under liberty, you're under grace, it's okay, don't worry about it. And it never sat well with me. I said, that just doesn't make any sense. I don't know why, but it doesn't make sense. And then the Lord used some dear men to bring the gospel of truth to me, and I realized, you know what, I never turned from my sin. I'm trying to justify my sin by what I see in Scripture. David was a man after God's own heart, and yet he did this. Noah did this. And the list goes on and on. But what I failed to see was these were men that lived in their sin, and God had saved them, and that was not their desire. That was not their practice. That was not their love. They loved their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that was their desire, to follow Him, to serve Him. And so when God saved me, it was so radical that when I came home and I told my wife, I said, there were so many projects, I said, I don't want to do these anymore. I just want to go and do the work of the Lord. She was like, whoa, it was like a fire hydrant had gone off. And praise the Lord, He saved her shortly after that. Well, my point is that when God opens the eyes of the blind, they will see. They will hear. They will love. Your desires will be so radically changed that when you open the Word of God, you can't get enough. The Word of God is the very bread that comes down out of heaven. And Jesus said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part in me. You have no part in me. So what is your life marked by? Is it marked by a practice of righteousness? Or is it marked by a practice of sin? Are you looking for more sin? Are you running after sin? And then coming into the house of the Lord and thinking that the sacrifice that you bring is acceptable to God, all the while you're sinning against Him, you're a reproach to His name. Maybe your sin is private, no one knows about it. Maybe your husband or wife, she knows, your kids know. I just ask this for the simple reason that we need to examine ourselves in accordance with 2 Corinthians 13:5, we examine ourselves, see that we're in the faith, and test that we would not fail the test, make our calling and election sure. Have you turned away from sin? And children, it's not good enough to ride the coattails of your parents. Your parents' faith can't save you. You say, well, my parents, they bring me to church every day, and we're here every time the church is open. Can't save you. They can't save you. You must come to Christ. You must turn to Him. You must cry out to Him that He would save you, because your attendance in this church cannot save you. Your parents cannot save you. And by sure, if your parents are born again, I know that they've been praying for you, that the Lord would do a work. So your outward conformity to your parents, your outward conformity to maybe reading your Bible in the morning or having a little devotion time or whatever it is that you do in your household cannot save you. It's not even an indication of saving faith. You must be regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. And so today we see those that they have their religious duty. They come. They put in their little hour like they would at work. Check their time card. Did that. Check that off on the box. Go back out into the world and live like hell. No love for our Lord. Nothing's been changed. And unfortunately, that has bred many things, including false gospels, deception, many things that we see today, which are just an absolute war on Scripture. The war against our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I see pragmatism at its highest level. Pragmatism is a breeding ground for compromise. It's a breeding ground for compromise. We see compromise in Belize like you wouldn't believe, but it's no different than here. Compromisers trying to come up with the methodologies of men that they believe will appeal and tickle their ears, but yet what they bring is no hope. There's no peace. They don't have peace with Christ. They might have peace with because their wallet is filled, or peace because they're healthy and they're not sick, but it's a temporal peace. They don't contend earnestly for the faith. I like to say, where are the Daniels today? Where are the men standing up for the truth, willing to go down with the ship no matter what the cost? Are you willing to lay your entire life on the line for the holy word of God, for our Savior? I mean, we have brothers and sisters in other countries that today will go into the sword because they will not. They will not. They will not renounce Christ. They're going into hiding in places. Do you realize we haven't been here in 7 years? Well, we lived here 7 years ago and we left. This country is definitely, absolutely, 100% not the country we left. And we're just seeing all kinds of things. Lord has just opened our eyes to things that are going on. And I believe that swift persecution is coming. I think it's coming much quicker than many are prepared for. I don't desire that. I don't wish that. I desire that the Lord be glorified in whatever He has. But I believe that there's a lull and there's a sleep in God's people. They need to wake up. We have a window to go and share the precious gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're not taking that time. We're not taking advantage of that, and eventually that's going to be taken away. We have a window probably about this big in Belize. Here I see a window where you probably can't even stick a piece of paper through it right now. Brothers that I know personally that I preach with, the FBI banging on their door and hauling them off. This is happening today. There are people in your neighborhood to your left and your right and the front and the back that don't know the Lord, and if they die today, they're going to hell forever. There are people right around this church that have not heard the gospel. I hear people all the time say, well, the U.S. is so much gospel. Yes, there's billions of gospels and they're all false. It's not the true gospel. Belize is over-evangelized with cults. Belize is over-evangelized with heretics that bring smooth and flattering words, but they don't bring the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same here. What are we doing with our time? Time is short, my friends. I'm not a doomsdayer. I'm not a prophet. I didn't have a dream or a vision last night. But I can see there's a lull in God's people. We were just in a church the other day, and the brother got up and said, I got a fire in my bones and I want to go and preach. But in essence, there's no one in the church who will go with me. I said, men, what is going on here? Men of the Lord, rise up. You have a brother that's willing to go and open his mouth, and all you have to do is stand beside him and pray for him. You don't have to open your mouth. Then why aren't you going with the brother? I don't want to sound harsh, so I hope I don't sound harsh. That's not the way I intend this to come across. But we must examine ourselves, my friends. We must examine to see who are we listening to. Are we actively in the Word to know the Word? But it's not just enough to know the Word, but to live the Word. What did Christ say? He said, go. So go into all the world. He didn't say, fill yourself up, fill yourself up. and then don't worry about those people. Right? There's a danger in us feeding and feeding and feeding and then not going out and feeding. There's a danger there. I remember in Michael Horton's book, Christless Christianity, he said that we should etch the gospel on our eyelids and preach to ourselves each and every day, lest we become prideful and arrogant and forget where we came from. So often I forget. So often I forget the Lord has taken me so far, and I forget what that old life was like. I totally forget. I remember this brother, Joe Vaughn. Pastor Mark's met him. Dave's met him. Witnessed to him at a chicken shop. This guy's just like the epitome of a gangster. That's what he did in his life. And witnessed to him. We give him a Bible and everything, and I leave there. And in my mind, I'm saying, God's never going to save this guy. There's just no way. Forgetting where I came from, I wasn't a gangster, but I was at odds with God, no doubt. God saved him, and sometime after that, I find myself repenting before the Lord and Jovan and saying, you know what, I witnessed to you, and I went out of there and said, there's no way God's going to save you. You deserve hell. You're a gangster. Do we pass by our neighbors? Maybe the neighbor that blows his grass clippings on your yard, and you kind of grunt, you know, like, I just cut my yard, right? I'm not going to share the gospel with this guy. Like, what attitude do we have toward the lost? There are lost people all around us. I see Pastor Mark's got piles of gospel tracts out there. You know, it's always good to have one in your pocket and be able to just pull it out and give it to someone at any time, because a gospel tract is a paper missionary. It's cold. I'm wearing like 16 layers here. But to have a tract to be able to give to someone, you know, maybe you're like Moses, but Lord, I stutter. I can't speak. I'm no good at this, right? Well, then you let the gospel tract speak. It does all the work for you. I mean, there's many people that have been saved on gospel tracts. No, not everyone's called to preach. Not everyone's called to go and do the things that the Lord has called me to do. You're called to do something different, but we're all called to go to your family members, to your loved ones, to those that love the Joel Osteens of the world that you think, well, you know, maybe eventually they're going to hear something, and maybe they will. I believe that there's a remnant in that church, and God will call them out. They'll hear His voice, and they'll follow Him. They won't any longer listen to that stranger. But He uses His word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Do we believe that the word of God itself is sufficient enough? That's the problem. Many of us would say it's sufficient enough. We say God is sovereign. We say that, yes, we know all of these things, but then in our action, is that following what we're saying? Oh, I love my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to see my family members saved, so I'm going to pray for their salvation. That's a great thing. It's a great thing to pray for the lost. But it's even a greater thing to put our feet to the fire and go. You pray and you go. You pray and you go. You pray and you tell. See, that's what we have to do. If you've not shared with your loved ones, if you've not shared with your family, then you're neglecting your duty as a Christian. If you're born again, you've neglected your duty. I can't say it any simpler than that. We have neglected our duty. We must go, my friends. These false gospels, these heretics that are out there, guess what? They have a great following because they have no gospel. These people have not been confronted by their sin. They love the things of the world, and guess what these teachers bring them? Everything they want on a silver platter. They bring it to them. And it's only their condemnation if they die without Christ. Jesus Christ is King over all kings. He's Lord over all lords. All authority has been given to Him. It's not just enough to say, I love Jesus Christ. This country's filled with lovers of Jesus Christ, and very few are taking up arms and going forth. Again, I don't mean to be harsh. This is probably not describing anyone in this room. But this is the truth. This is the truth, my friends. And so God sent us to Belize to clean out polluted wells because there was no gospel. Got to meet a precious, precious dear saint, Pastor Gideon, who some of you have already met, who is toiling in the Word and moving forth. a dear, dear brother. God has his remnant out there. And he will receive glory. And he is worthy of all glory, honor. And so it's not just enough to read the word. It's not just enough to know the word. We must live the word. We must live the word. You know, there are those in North Korea that don't have a Bible of their own. I've been told that there are those that they will memorize an entire book of scripture. And they'll go behind the cloak of darkness, different paths, different places every week to worship the Lord. And each one will have a book that they memorized. Because they don't have the scriptures. They get caught, they'll be killed, they'll be imprisoned. China, Afghanistan, I mean, the list goes on and on. And, you know, I was born and raised in this country. So I can say these things knowing what I'm talking about. This is the most spoiled nation in the world. This is the most spoiled nation in the world. We are so fat and happy on so many different things. And in other countries, they know not these things. They don't know these things. You know, I went there and they don't have they didn't have books. They didn't have these big libraries to learn from, to learn more about scripture. There are very few things that they have in these other countries. And when we left, the Lord had to rip so many idols out of me personally that I didn't realize was even an idol. Well, Lord, how do you live without air conditioning? No, that's a need. We need air conditioning. Just something simple like that. Running water. You have to have running water. I remember Pastor Gideon said that he always dreaded the drop in the bucket. And I said, what does that mean? He said, Dad would give us a 5-gallon pail, tell us go down, you know, I don't know, a half a mile or something to the well. Sometimes you'd fill it up quickly and come home. And he said, but don't come home until that's filled. And he said, there were dry season where you go down and you just get drop, drop, drop. And you'd sit there for hours until that bucket was filled and go home. We don't have any clue about these things. We don't have any clue about. And so we demand our rights and our desires. But then when Christ demands us to go, we say, well, I don't know, it's too hard. What if the man says this? What if she does that? What if this? What if this? What if this? Taking and robbing him of his sovereignty and saying, we know better. We know what's going to happen. And so if we just sit comfortably in the seats and we don't go to the streets, then we'll be fine. I heard a man one time say that we all have tickets in our pockets full of tickets, meaning seeds of the gospel that God will have us to plant in our lives, whether it's a gospel tract or even writing a letter to a loved one or calling them on the phone and saying, listen, you need the Lord. And he said there are going to be those that will enter the kingdom and their pockets are going to be filled with tickets. And the one regret they're going to have is that they didn't go out and share the gospel more. Shouldn't we toil and travail with our Lord? Shouldn't we go out into the highways and byways with a desire to see men saved? How are they going to be saved unless they hear? God's not going to just drop, you know, a leaf out of the tree. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So who are you listening to today? Are you reading the Word? Do you know the Word? Do you live the Word? Do you love the Word? These are important questions for us today. I hope this has spurned us all on, admonished us to go further than what we did yesterday, to seek the Lord and His will, to glorify Him not only in thought, word, and deed, but to glorify Him with our feet as we go forth. Beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel. There's nothing more satisfying in this world, in this universe, than sharing with a man in a chicken shop. And even in my sinful thoughts that God would never save him, to see him transformed. And our first week we were here, he called and he said, Brother Nate, time is short. Time is short. He said, I asked Pastor Gideon for the speaker and I'm going out and preaching now. I've grabbed the boys and said, let's go preach. I preached 3 days in a row now. There's nothing more beautiful than hearing that. The gospel is being proclaimed by those who love the Lord. So my friends, I just encourage you to examine yourself before the Lord, to see what are your desires, what are your motives, what are your intentions. If you're born again, it's very clear we must go. We must tell them. We must pray for them and go and tell them. If you're not born again, you need to cry out to the Lord. Call upon His name and be saved. Don't think that just sitting in this pew is enough. It's not, my friends. There are many people that fill these buildings all around the world. All around the world. And they'll be condemned on that day when Christ says, I never knew you, you worker of lawlessness. Depart from me. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, for your precious Son, Jesus Christ, and the atoning work that he came to accomplish on that cross so that we might be able to come to you boldly through his merit, through his work. We thank you, Father, for salvation and no other. We thank you that you have come to save a people for yourself. And we thank you, Father, for justifying us, Lord, that we might be able to, Father, go and boldly proclaim your name. I pray, Father, that you would do a work in and through us, that you would continue to set us apart, continue to sanctify us for your good will and pleasure. Separate us, Lord, from the things of the world, Father. Let us have a glimpse, Father, of your glory, Lord, that we might fall prostrate before you, Lord, and have no desire for the things that entangle us and are enticing us for our time, our attention, our money. Father, those things that we vie for, that, Lord, we long to be with you, Father. So, Lord, continue to use us, continue to grow us, and cause, Father, many to be born again, even around this church, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would pack this church with those that you have saved, Lord, that it would please you to save many. The Lord, those right to the left and the right, Father, in this community, Father, would be walking here with joy, Father, and happiness and gladness to come and worship their Lord and Savior, to come and to be fed, Father. Father, I pray for the leadership here, Lord, that you would help them to stay steadfast upon you, Lord, that there would be no compromise, Lord, that Father, that they would continue in your word, Father, travailing day and night, Father, as they bring this food to your sheep, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Father, for this opportunity to gather. And we think of our brothers and sisters, Lord, that we know cannot gather, Lord, like this, that they have to come in the cloak of darkness. We pray you protect them, you strengthen them, Lord, and you continue to grow your church, Father. We thank you and we praise you. We pray, Father, that our lives would be a fragrant offering in your nostrils, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.